program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Catster.com, The Guardian Online, Hindustan Times, and Dogster Magazine. We'll begin today's program with an article from The Guardian Online titled, It's Almost Magical: How Robotic Pets Are Helping UK Care Home Residents, by Robert Booth. Animatronic cats and dogs have helped staff at a Bedfordshire care home to avoid medicating some residents with dementia. "You're bloody lovely, ain't you?" said Frances Barrett as the robotic cat she was stroking flicked its ears and whiskers one lunchtime this week at the Oak Manor Care Home in Bedfordshire. The resident was one of several who live with dementia, playing with the home's small menagerie of animatronic animals that were originally designed to entertain American girls aged 4 to 8, but have found a growing market in British care homes. At the under end of the table, Marjorie Stevenson tickled her quote-unquote cat under its chin, laughed as she scooped it up in her arms, and announced, "I'm going to take him home with me and take him for a walk every day." The cats, which purr and meow, seemed more popular than the dogs, which bark along if spoken to. To complete the scene, a pair of plastic songbirds twittered away as Sheila Brinkley, another resident, pursed her lips and whistled happily into their beaks. The residents didn't appear to believe they were real animals, but neither did they consider them silly toys. While some ignored them, many instinctively engaged with their moving features, wagging tails, and bark back and vibra-purr technologies. An 8-month trial of similar pets in 8 Cornish care homes last year found positive effects, although things didn't always end well for the pets. One was found with broken limbs, case unknown. Another was dropped in urine, and a handful malfunctioned. And a quarter of the residents didn't interact with them at all. The effect of the 100-pound animals on residents with dementia, especially when they are distressed, was almost magical, said Lydia Endersby, Oak Manor's activities coordinator. They have become another tool to help the care workers avoid medicating residents who are struggling. It is not the first time care homes have experimented with robots. With mixed results, Japan has invested hundreds of millions of pounds in developing potential devices such as Hug, a lifting robot, Pero, a robotic seal, and Pepper, a lovable humanoid robot. In 2021, it was reported that production of Pepper had been halted. The 64-bed Bedfordshire care home started with a couple of the pets and now has 10. About 100,000 have been sold in the UK and EU, according to Ageless Innovation, the manufacturer that was spun out of the US toy giant Hasbro, maker of Nerf guns and My Little Pony. Research in care homes using the pets by Plymouth University found decreased neuropsychiatric symptoms such as delusions, depression, anxiety, elation, apathy, and occupational disruptiveness for residents with robot pets. The innovation comes amid predictions that 135 million people worldwide might be affected by dementia by mid-century, and more than 1.6 million in the UK alone, up from about 900,000 today. New ways to alleviate suffering from such brain diseases are urgently needed. Ted Fisher, the chief executive of Ageless Innovation, said the idea was born when it emerged that about 20% of the reviews for Hasbro's animatronic pets for children were coming from people buying them for elderly relatives. There was an increasing desire for older adults to have more fun, play, and joy, and this need for more companionship caused by the epidemic of loneliness even before the pandemic. If a user makes a short noise toward the dog, they get a short bark in return. While if they talk for longer, the dog makes a longer noise. If you stroke its back, it triggers a subtle heartbeat in its chest, and you can splay its front legs to cuddle it chest to chest. It will act like a puppy as long as you interact with it like a puppy, but it will also calm down if you do, he said. The cat is programmed with more random play patterns reflecting cat's independence. The Plymouth researchers found that people with moderate or severe dementia and those considered to be lonely were most likely to interact with the pets. Residents cared for and nurtured robots, which perhaps provided a sense of responsibility and purpose, the academics found. Although most nurturing seems to involve cuddling and fussing the animals, there were also reports of residents feeding, dressing, and grooming the pets, they added. The pets resulted in significant difference in occupational disruptiveness, suggesting they could ease the burden on care workers. With 1 in 10 social care jobs vacant, a temptation may be to use the pets to free up press staff from spending time with residents. Care workers at Oak Manor, where the pets have been used for a year, said they would not be deployed in the same way some parents pacify children with iPads. Success comes when the pet provides a familiar focus, when agitation and anxiety is rising, and they encourage socialization as residents pet them together. Next, we'll move on to an article from the Hindustan Times titled, What is Storm Anxiety and How It Can Affect Pets? No Ways to Ease Their Anxiety by Parmita Uniyal. Storm anxiety is very common in pets, and if not resolved, the symptoms can worsen over time. Here are the things to keep in mind. Does your dog become restless, bark excessively, or start shaking during a thunderstorm? Storm anxiety is very common in pets, and if not resolved, the symptoms can worsen over time. During a storm, the sky's turning dark, the rain pouring heavily, the flashing lights, and the sudden high-pitched noise and vibrations could make your pet unsure about what's happening around them, and they may try to hide in an enclosed space where these external disturbances are less visible or audible. They may also need the comfort of their toys, their favorite treat, or maybe a song or movie to connect to their familiar zone and fight these unfamiliar sensations. What is storm anxiety? Extreme fear, stress during thunderstorms or other such severe events, is termed as storm anxiety. This is a commonly observed condition in pets. Pet parents and pets both get affected due to distress caused by anxiety, says Dr. Sanjeev Rajagashka, medical director at Wiggles My Vet. Pets' triggered responses to factors like lightning, loud noises, and other such changes are termed as storm anxiety. Excessive barking, panting, hiding, aggressive or destructive behavior, restlessness, and severe panic are some of the main symptoms of storm anxiety. Taking cognizance of these symptoms is extremely important in order to use effective techniques for managing anxiety. The creation of a calming environment is necessary. One of the best ways to keep them calm is by creating or designing a quiet, cozy place for your pets, where they can hide or take refuge during thunderstorms. Add familiar toys, bedding, and blankets to the place in order to make it a familiar place. Keep the doors and windows closed during thunderstorms to keep the house insulated from loud noises. Get them prepared. Desensitizing your pets by gradually exposing them to storm-related stimuli can be helpful in minimizing the impact during the actual storm. Make them hear storm-related sounds at low volume to make them familiar with those sounds, and reward them with treats to keep them calm. Slowly increase the volume to simulate real-life situations. This can help them in being calm in the event of an actual storm and minimize their anxiety. Visit a veterinarian. Consult a veterinarian in case storm anxiety persists in your pet or it worsens. There are medications that vets can recommend to calm down your pets and effectively manage your pet's anxiety. Severe cases may require sedatives or anti-anxiety medication. Regular vet visits can help immensely in minimizing anxiety by understanding their behavioral patterns, etc., and plan accordingly. Patients' understanding and implementation of correct measures can help hugely in alleviating storm anxiety in pets. All above-mentioned factors help in managing storm anxiety effectively, says Dr. Rajagashka. Next, we'll move on to Catster.com and with an article in Cat Healthcare titled Anti-Anxiety Drug Helpful for Shelter Cats by Jackie Brown. Extremely stressed, anxious, and fearful cats remain in animal shelters longer, and some may never get adopted. A study published in May in the Journal of the American Veterinary Association explored the use of the drug gabapentin, which has been shown to have anti-anxiety effects in cats combined with behavior modification therapy. A group of 32 cats rescued from hoarding situations and placed in an animal shelter received either behavior modification therapy only or behavior modification therapy paired with gabapentin. Cats who got both behavioral therapy and gabapentin made faster progress behaviorally and showed fewer signs of stress. Next, we'll move on to an article in the cat behavior section titled Secrets to Socialization by Susan Logan McCracken. The first 12 weeks of a kitten's life makes a lasting impact on how she relates to others. This part of kittenhood is the ideal time for her to become socialized. Socialization is the process by which kittens learn to develop relationships with other individuals in their environment, be they human, feline, or another animal. If kittens aren't adequately socialized during this critical age, they may become fearful or aggressive toward people and other animals, or in situations to which they were not acclimated. Learn from mom. One important way that kittens learn is by observation, and they learn much by observing their mothers. At around 4 weeks old, kittens learn from their mothers where to use the bathroom. Queens also teach their young to hunt by bringing them prey when they're around 5 weeks old. Food preference is also influenced by their mothers. Sometimes people remove kittens too soon from their moms, says certified cat behavior consultant Marilyn Krieger. Kittens learn important socialization skills from their siblings and their moms. A kitten should stay with their mother and littermates for the first 12 weeks. Kittens also learn boundaries from their mothers. When they are too overstimulated, for example, playing too rough with their siblings or mom, the queen will let them know through various behaviors, including hissing, head bops, moving the kitten, or herself, Marilyn says. The kitten will learn that if they behave a certain way, there are consequences. Sometimes that means the object of the kitten's affection briefly disappears. Learn from play. From interactions through play with their littermates, kittens learn boundaries, Marilyn says. When they get too rough, the siblings will let them know through vocalizations and briefly ceasing to interact with the overstimulated sibling. It doesn't take long for the kitten to learn not to bite so hard or play too rough. They let each other know if it's too much, and they learn to play with less intensity. Playing with littermates also hones kittens' coordination, develops their muscles, helps them mature and interact with each other. Vital skills for cats in a multi-cat household. Learn from people. Kittens should be handled by people when they are very young, Marilyn says, adding that they should be around people's scent, the vibrations and sounds of footsteps, and the bustle of people. People who live with kittens, including breeders, should raise kittens in a home interacting with people. They should not be in cages. Ideally, they should have more than one person to interact with in the household. Marilyn says people should never force themselves on cats, but to take cues from them and allow the cats to have the choice of advancing to socialize or retreat. The key is to set up situations where cats feel safe and secure and want to fraternize. At around 3 to 4 weeks old, encourage them to come to you. Crouch down and extend your index finger toward them. If they want to socialize with you, they will come to you. Touch your finger and turn their head to mark you with their cheek. Scent glands on their cheeks produce friendly pheromones. At that point, it's an invitation for you to pet them on the sides of their face and their heads, Marilyn says. If they rub the side of their body against your hand, you can pet them along their side. Allow them to make the choice. This gives the kitten a sense of security around people that they will take into adulthood. Also, at around 3 to 4 weeks of age, use playtime to socialize your kitten. Play with her a couple times each day using interactive toys, which simulate the hunt and help her develop her fun prey-catching skills. Allow her to catch the toy and immediately give a treat. Do not let your kitten play with your hands or feet because you do not want to encourage her to bite or scratch people. Sadly, a lot of kittens end up in shelters because of biting and scratching behaviors. Not so social. Not all kittens spend 12 weeks with their mothers and littermates and are socialized to humans during that time. If kittens haven't been socialized properly, you can still socialize the kittens or adult cats, but it will probably take longer, Marilyn says. If you have a kitten that didn't learn social skills or boundaries when overstimulated or playing too hard, which happens commonly with bottle-fed kittens, you can give them a timeout by stopping all interaction with the kitten, Marilyn advises. Turn around and leave the room. Timeouts for play aggression are short. 1 to 2 seconds should be enough. The kitten quickly learns that when she's overstimulated, her favorite person is no longer available. Never scold, hit, or scruff. The timeout has to happen when the kitten is overstimulated and biting. Marilyn once had a 2-year-old male cat who had been feral. He lived under the sofa for 1 year, she says. In that situation, you want the cat to associate everything good with you. I would sit on the floor near his hiding spot and never approach him, she says. Every time he saw her, she fed him a yummy treat. She did this for a year until he finally came out. The older they are, the longer it takes for them to feel safe and secure enough to socialize. He ended up being a lap cat. However, not all cats become lap cats. People need to adjust their thinking wherever they are in a socialization process, Marilyn says. Cats are perfect whether they are fearful or skittish or they're beginning to socialize. When people relax their own attitude and expectations, the socializing process is easier and seems to progress faster. Cats are very sensitive and pick up on stress. It's about giving them the choice and helping them feel safe and secure. When your kitten chooses to sit on your lap or near you and purrs or looks at you with squinting eyes, the equivalent of a feline smile, you have earned trust and formed a bond that can last a lifetime. Next, we'll move on to Dogster Magazine and start with an article in the Health and Food Matters section by Dr. Ernie Ward. Finally, dog years to human years explained. Dr. Ward, I bet you've never seen a more spry 105-year-old. I was looking at a lovely Lhasa Apso named Luna, who was undeniably agile. She was not, however, over a century old. She just turned 15 last week. That makes her 105 in human years. Here we go again. You've probably heard the dog years to human years tall tale about dog aging. 1 year in a dog's life equals 7 in human years. Despite the continued efforts of veterinarians over decades, that fallacy persists. It's unclear how the 1 equals 7 calculation was derived. My guess is that sometime during the past 100 years, folks observed that many dogs lived to be about 10 to 12 years of age. Those were likely larger dogs living outdoors with little, if any, medical or preventative care. They reckon that because people lived to be about 70, that made for a simple equation of dog years to human years. Only, it's not that simple. Age chart accuracy. I belong to a team that developed one of the first pet aging charts in 1999. We reviewed the latest research on aging and worked hard to gain scientific consensus. Ultimately, we created the age table that continues to serve as a template for more modern charts. We began by dividing dogs into 4 size categories. Smaller dogs tended to live longer. We then applied a variety of biological metrics and data to calculate canine years into equivalent human age. In simplest terms, dog years to humans years is 0 to 2 years old. These years of a dog's life roughly equals the time humans take to reach adult size or post-puberty. 3 years old. Dogs are in their human equivalent early 20s. 7 years old. Small and medium dogs are about in their mid-40s, while large and giant breeds are in their 50s. 13 years old. The biological fact, although we don't fully understand why, is that dogs weighing over 50 pounds age relatively faster than a small and medium breeds, making a 13-year-old 50 to 90-pounder equivalent to about 82 in human terms, while a similarly aged under 20-pound pooch is a youthful 68. You can spot the problems with using human aging and life expectancy to categorize growing older in other animals. The underlying genetic, physiological, and even psychological differences and stages are challenging to compare. The truth is that aging is largely species-specific, and we're making our best specific scientific guesses with these charts. Because older dogs have different health requirements and an increased risk of many diseases, knowing when a pet is senior is essential to providing the best care. Veterinarians have used these dog age charts to create wellness plans, nutritional recommendations, and diagnostic test protocols for the past 3 decades, and they've worked pretty well. Life stage versus age. Birthdays, charts, and genes aside, you may wonder what the big deal is about a dog's age. As all living things march towards the inevitable unknown, we can prologue our dog's journey and make it more enjoyable by making lifestyle adjustments based on their aging biology. Veterinarians call this life stage medicine. It refers to doing things differently as a dog progresses through the five phases of life. 1, puppy. 2, young adult. 3, mature adult. 4, senior. 5, end of life. At first, you may think this is ridiculously obvious. Of course, old dogs need special care. What's not so obvious is at what age your dog becomes old and what special care is beneficial. That's why dog age charts based on body size and biological age tests can help inform you on the most effective and restorative care for your dog. More importantly, you can enhance the later years by making healthy changes during the early transitions of life. The best way to illustrate this is to examine a few examples of life stage care in action. 1. Puppy. Puppyhood is the progression from birth to adulthood, marked by musculoskeletal maturity, full-size puberty, and the ability to reproduce. For small dogs, this is usually birth until about a year of age, and for larger dogs, up to 18 to 24 months. Puppy life stage care aims to identify genetic or inherited disorders through DNA tests and exams, prevent infectious diseases through vaccinations, treat and protect from parasitic infections, spay or neuter, develop a diet formulated for growth. Most puppies must visit their vet every 3 to 4 weeks for the first 4 to 8 months of life. 2. Young adult. The young adult years are the time to establish and maintain healthy habits. The stage is 1 to 5 years of age for small dogs and around 4 for larger dogs. Weight gain is common during these years, so watch your feeding and treat habits. Behavior issues may become problematic at this age, so work with your vet team on training, especially during the first couple years of life. Heartworm, flea, tick, and intestinal parasite preventatives get administered monthly. Exams with appropriate diagnostic tests and vaccines are needed every 6 to 12 months. 3. Mature adult. In human terms, mature adult refers to the 40s until about 70. For small dogs, this is approximately ages 5 until 12 or 13, and for large dogs, up to about 10 or 11. This is the period of life when poor lifestyle choices begin to cause problems. Health issues appear. Obesity and poor body condition often lead to early arthritis, high blood pressure, kidney and liver issues, diabetes, and even cancer. Mature adults should be examined twice a year, along with routine blood and urine tests to detect earliest signs of disease. Proper vaccines and preventatives are critical because even minor infections can become severe in mature adults. 4. Senior. A dog's last quarter life is called the senior years. The senior life stage is also when canine size variations become more apparent and impactful and age charts differ. For example, a 12-pound dachshund attains senior status on some charts at age 14, while others define it at 10. For the record, I go with 14. On some charts, an 80-pound lab earns his senior dog title at 8, while others wait until 11. The senior years are time to upgrade your pet care. Senior dogs should be examined twice a year, have more blood and urine tests to uncover hidden diseases, change to a senior dog diet, and potentially add supplements, especially omega-3 fatty acids for anti-inflammatory properties, glucosamine for joints, and other antioxidants. Have x-rays of the hips or other at-risk joints, especially if they are a large breed. This is literally the last chance to diagnose illnesses early to improve outcomes. Hopefully you started these healthy habits from a young age. Your dog will cruise into this phase full of energy, ability, and vitality. 5. Care for end of life. While no one likes to think about it, at some time in the future, your dog will require end of life treatment. These days, there are several ways can provide compassionate care at home. When your dog reaches this stage, have an open conversation with your veterinarian about the best way to proceed based on your and your dog's needs. Back in the office, Luna leapt into my lap. You're absolutely right. Luna has to be one of the fittest 50-year-old Lhasas I've ever seen. Her good health is thanks to your years of excellent care and a dash of good genes. It didn't matter if Luna was a human, 105 or 76. I know the most important thing was her well-being. Here's wishing you and your dog a lifetime of health. Biological age tests for a dog. Leave it to science to challenge our trusty dog age charts. The actual timekeeper of life is found in DNA, and the calendar age may not mean as much as once believed. Science call it an epigenetic clock. As humans, dogs, and cats, and other mammals age, changes occur in their DNA. These changes can be measured by using a DNA methylation level test. While researchers don't fully understand all the factors that cause DNA methylation, many labs use it to calculate biological age. The theory holds up, and it's been around since the 1960s, with more attention brought to the subject in the 2000s. A dog or human's biological age is more insightful factor in health and life expectancy than blowing out a clump of candles. Several companies have started offering these biological age tests for dogs. Some use telomeres to test, and some use DNA methylation. While I'm skeptical about using these tests to determine a dog's actual age, or relying on them to make birthday plans and medical decisions, I think they hold tremendous potential to identify premature aging and encouraging lifestyle changes. Because many hidden diseases and inflammatory processes, I'm looking at you, obesity, go unnoticed until the illness develops, these tests could prompt dog parents to adopt healthier lifestyle choices and medical interventions to extend life expectancy. And finally, we'll move to WAGS, my favorite. Therapy Dogs Help Students Heal by Sarah Lyons. A Kansas high school made national headlines after a 2022 school shooting shook the community. A place of positive experiences, such as football games, school plays, and prom, turned into a crime scene. Therapy Dogs dug in as part of the core response team. Friendly furry faces, supportive counselors, staff, and parents all joined together to greet students and begin the healing process within the school community. Trained to use their therapeutic nature to de-escalate emotions in a difficult situation, Therapy Dogs brought joy to the students and staff, opening doors. Jennifer Cullen and Tisha Halford, school counselors in the Kansas City School District, are part of a response team that assists when there is a loss or traumatic experience in one of the schools. Both staff members own golden doodles and work with them to bring a sense of calm to a situation with high emotions. Shortly after the March 4th, 2022 shooting, Tisha and Jennifer brought their golden doodles, Milo and Baxter, to middle schools where the students were reunited with their families. A girl came specifically looking for me and Baxter on the day it happened, Jennifer says. The dogs provided a lifeline for them. A dog's love equals love in so many people's lives, says Angie Salova, director of mental health for Olathe Public Schools in Kansas, where the shooting occurred. When your sense of safety is interrupted, Therapy Dogs can help reestablish the safety and healing can begin. School administrators brought in Therapy Dogs, counselors, and extra police officers to calm nerves and bring comfort to students as they reentered the buildings. The dogs were overwhelmingly well received and reassured the students and staff. We have run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.